We'll read one verse from the previous reading. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And now, O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If he has anything to say about it, and he does, no one will be leaving this chapel without knowing that Christmas is for them, and for them means for you. So that means you will not be leaving this chapel without knowing the good news of Jesus for you. Why can I say that? Because God is in the front of this chapel through his word, and his word is more powerful than any two-edged sword. It cuts right to the heart and delivers the message, and it's the power of God unto salvation that tells about salvation, gives it, delivers it, and makes it your own. But at the same time that God is speaking from the front of this chapel, there is always that voice from the back of the chapel. And here are some of the things that Satan says. You don't deserve the good news. Other people might, but not you, not you. You know your greed, your lust, your selfishness. Other people deserve it, not you. Christmas isn't for you, no. Or Christmas was good for a pre-Enlightenment age. Oh, it's a nice sentimental story, and people used to believe it. Angels, virgin birth, God becoming man. Come on. You're college-educated people. It's enjoyed as a quaint little story, but it's not really for you. Or, Satan says, you don't feel it anymore, do you? Christmas isn't the same. Remember the way it was when you were a child? It doesn't seem the same anymore. Does it? So you don't feel it. The fact that you don't feel it maybe means that you're not a believer anymore. You don't feel it the same way you used to. But enough of Satan's prattle for the back. Let the word of God be its powerful self, and let it have its say. And what does it say just in this one little text? It says that the message was for shepherds. They are the very first one to hear about it. Now, if the wise men represent privilege, wealth, superior intelligence, then the shepherds stand for average people, lowly folk, and quite literally, people that have to work the night shift out in their fields by night, watching their sheep. So from the brightest and the best to the lowest, from the best educated to the least educated, the message is for everyone. The literary term for this sort of language is mirism, naming extremes at both ends to include everyone in the middle. It's the same way as God saying, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So the message is for shepherds, the lowly people, as well as the magi, the wise men. When did the event take place? Well, the text says, this day, in real time, at a real point in history, objectively, it happened in time, probably 5 or 6 BC, something like that. At a real hour, a real minute, Jesus was born. Where? In the city of David, say the angels. Bethlehem. At a real place on this real earth, the same earth that you and I walk on. Objectively, these things happened in time, in a place. Doesn't matter what you feel about it. It happened. It's real. For whom did it happen? Well, to you, say the angels, meaning the shepherds, but much more than that. To all people. Pinch yourself. Are you a person? Then the good news is for you. And what is the good news, the message? The good news of great joy, as it's called? Well, the words born and baby bring out the first part. A real human being came into the world. He's called Christ. He's the one that was promised, the Messiah, the Christ, promised for a long time. It's according to plan. And he is also called the Lord, Yahweh. He is Old Testament God, a New Testament God, the one who was the same yesterday, today, and forever. A God becoming a human being to be put under the law, to keep the law for us, to take our place. Becoming a human, to become the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, your sin, the sin of the world, your sin. A number of years ago, we gathered in the fields of Bethlehem, just southeast of the city of Bethlehem, the traditional fields of Bethlehem. Quite a number of Bethany students were there, and there were the sheep out in the pasture, and a little Palestinian girl was attending them. And she saw us, and she picks up a little lamb and brings it to us. So we all took our pictures of the cute little Palestinian girl with a cute little lamb in the fields of Bethlehem, right near the city of Bethlehem where Jesus was born. But it was also a great reminder that Jesus came to be that lamb, the sacrificial lamb, so that the real joy of Christmas could take place through the forgiveness of sins as the sin of the world is carried by the Lamb of God. So you say you don't feel it. In a way, I can say, so what? It happened. The joy is objective. The joy is real. Salvation has been won. So you say you're all tired out and brain dead from tests. That's why you don't feel it. Well, that's all right. It's still there. To the shepherds, there was given a sign that the good news was here. And the sign was they'd find a baby in a manger of all places, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Well, a big sign has been given to you too, a sign and a seal. You're baptized, right? You're objectively wrapped in Jesus, covered by him, forgiven through him, and carrying him with you, whether you feel it or not. Last night, I didn't feel real happy. I felt tired and grumpy, so much so that I went to bed at 10 o'clock. Hadn't done that for forever. For you, it was probably, what, 2, 3, I don't know. But there are times when we don't feel it. So the message today is Christmas objectively happened. Whether we feel it or not, it is real and it is for you. Let us pray. Forgive our doubts, Heavenly Father. Put down the lies of the Father of lies. And in our Savior, command our hearts to fear not. Now fill our hearts with your joy and your peace. Through the one born in the city of David, crucified for our sins at Calvary, and now reigning in heaven for eternity. Glory to him in the highest. Amen.